I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, the Centennial Edition. It's episode 100. Hobart is at St. Joe's to take on the Hawks on Hawk Hill this Saturday, 12 noon, 89.5 WEOS. Coach Greg Raymond's here. Welcome back, and congratulations. We've been doing this for a long time.
100 podcasts, Ted. They go by in a blink, don't they?
So let's talk about that. As you look back, I don't know that we've been doing it the whole 11 years, but pretty darn close, I think. What do you think of when you look back at your Hobart stint?
You know, it's like I tell our guys all the time, you know, the days seem long, but the years are short. It's, I was reflecting on a ton when checking my calendar this morning and, you know, 100th podcast with Ted. I'm like, I can't believe I've done 100 of these things. They just, you know, they go by so quickly, and all the conversations of all the great young men I've had the privilege to coach while they're here through these whole podcasts. I remember there used to be emails, Ted. And when I made this change, in full transparency, I just didn't want to send those long written letters to the alums or the people that cared about our program. They just took so long. So we made this switch out of convenience. And then, you know, it's kind of, I think people really like it, Ted. I do. I get a lot of comments on it. I think, our parents like to listen to it, and my family likes to listen to it. We've realized that some of our opponents listen to it. So, you know, we've held back on a lot of information going into the game, you know, and I know Taylor Ray is probably going to listen to this one too. So T Ray, down at St. Joe's, how you doing, buddy? I'm not going to give you any info that you don't already have, man, but it's been a pleasure, man. It is, or it has been. So thank you for all your time. And, you know, I'm not speaking like this is the last one, but, you know, 100 of these things is a pretty cool accomplishment.
So not the way you wanted to go against a very good Richmond team, losing 15-7. So in the last four games, you've trailed 7-2, 3-0, 3-0, and 5-0. I know there's no easy answer, but how do you get off to better starts? If you could lop off the first quarter of these games, you've been right in them after that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just not the way the game works. You know, it's a 60-minute process. You know, if I told you, Ted, how often we referenced how we wanted to start this game last week, you know, I think you'd be blown away at how redundant that message has been. The way that we started practices, the way that we, you know, did some shot coaching where guys came out, they stretched, and we just played. And, you know, how are we going to start this game? How are we going to execute? You know, I think we believe as coaches, it's one of the last things we need is a solid start to the game, so that not for the impact on our opponent, but just what it's going to do to our guys and how much better we think they'll play, you know, throughout the course of the game, much more confidently we think they play, however you want to draw it up, Ted. With the losses that we've had and the way that we've done it in different ways. It wears on your athletes. And as confident as you want them to be, they do have this kind of stigma or this cloud hanging over their head. So we've got to find a way to brush those clouds away and get that fresh start so that the confident players that I know we do have can emerge a little bit. So, you know, but Ted, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot, you know, especially when you're playing a team with the caliber of Richmond. You know, we showed them, you know, two of their first three goals and how fantastic of a goal it was. You know, we do that on a, you know, fairly consistent basis, just making sure our guys know that when our opponent scores, it's not always a mistake of a Hobart player. It is at times a very good play by a very good player. And, you know, we play those teams, and we're very fortunate to play those teams. And I can tell you right now that I don't believe there's a group out there that takes us lightly or that says, you know, their record's this. So I think we've garnered enough respect as coaches, and our players play hard enough. I mean, you can visibly see their effort on a daily basis. So teams are ready to play us often, and they'll make plays. So, but when we have teams with a guy like Little John who scores the ball with zero space, you know, every single game and does so, I mean, a couple of his goals, Ted, you watch in our game and you go, wow, you know, that's impressive lacrosse play right there. So we can't go off sides while we're riding. We can't step on the restraining line during a scrum ground ball on a faceoff and give the ball to the other team. We can't foul in the first 18 seconds of the game, you know, and whether or not they're good calls, bad calls, da da da, they happen. So, we gave every bit of momentum to Richmond to start this game. And I think we're very regretful of that. So we've got to know that does the energy there, but does it have, or sorry, does the energy have to be there? Yes, but Ted, it always is. Our guys are always very ready to play from an emotional standpoint, but we have got to become more mature from an execution standpoint and make sure that details are accounted for. You can't just play hard at this level. That's required. You have to play smart, you have to know your game plan, and you have to execute all those things. So once again, it's a something that we're working hard to fix.
Offensively, just 25 shots total, only 15 on cage, and it just didn't look like it was working. You were trying everything, and just not getting to the front of the net and getting into the zone where you can score goals.
I mean, yes and no. And we also, Ted, when we did get to the front of the net, it was there are scenarios where we still feel like we make poor decisions with the ball. I think there's a couple scenarios where we feel like guys are trying to play offense too much instead of playing the offense in the system that Coach Brundage has provided. And I can tell you, he's the first one to look at that product and go, well, we've asked them to do things a little bit differently than that. And so it's frustrating because you can't fault a young man for giving his best effort, but you can challenge him to listen a little bit better and know that, we aren't an offense that is blowing by people every single time we dodge and burying the ball on the run. At least we're not yet. So we have to have a better coordinates of what ball movement looks like and what off ball movement looks like. We're getting there. There's no doubt in my mind. I wish we were there a long, long time ago. But you're also there's a lot of things that the outside world doesn't see that our guys are facing and going through on a weekly basis, not specifically on game day. Like I tell you all the time, Ted, we're judged based on a 2-hour process throughout the course of each week, and there's much more that goes into it. There's much more that our guys have to deal with, and they're fighting hard through those things. So, I believe that when we show them the product that we're underwhelmed with, they're very persistent on doing everything in their power to change it. And so we've done that again this week, and we're anxious to have another opportunity to show that we can do it better.
There's a real fine line between making that beautiful pass into the crease area for the goal and forcing one into traffic that isn't there, and it seems like it's been the latter of late.
Yeah, I'm not sure we know that line exists, Ted. So, that's where listening comes in, throughout the course of this season. And all the evaluations we had of our players, we go into specific weeks with different agenda items for maybe a couple different guys and say, hey, look, this isn't working out for us. Not that it's not working out for you. This isn't a selfish agenda. It's not working out for us. I know you may see something or you may think you see something, but if you're not fundamental in these moments, if you're throwing the ball off your back foot and you haven't listened to Coach Brundage in terms of when that pass is available versus doing it impulsively, it's going to continue to be an error for us. So we're going to send probably a pretty similar message, Ted, but find a different way to communicate it. And it's up to our guys to listen and then to make sure we can understand where that line exists and do our best to not cross it as often as we are.
Ground balls were 15-3 in the first quarter. I mean, ground balls, a lot of it's want to, but when you look out and you look at the film, do you see just not the correct technique in going after the ball or not enough want to, or how does that happen?
I believe our guys want to pick up the ground ball, Ted. I think when it was 15-3, Richmond did a much better job of picking up that ground ball than us. Efforts out there. I think there needs to be more ownership of the craft from Monday to Friday. And I believe that we do have guys that, can pick up the ball consistently. I think Richmond may have a few more. So if they have a more distinct talent in stick work and a nose for the ball on the ground, then we need to combat that with more effort and more physical play when the ball's on the ground. But I think one of the biggest things we talked about at halftime was that stat in itself, and Again, unfortunately, our guys need a little bit of a boost or a kick in the butt on occasion. But you think once that, that kind of that swayed or that wavering stat favored Richmond, and we made a point of it. I thought our guys did a pretty good job of making sure that that statistic didn't stay as such.
In the defensive end, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think, a terrible performance. 15 goals is too many, but it's still, they're just certain kind of goals where you make a mistake, a turnover, and you just see that goal coming. I mean, there was one situation where you're coming up against a ride. One guy signals that he's going to stay back. The other guy thinks he wants the ball, and he throws him the ball, and he's not there anymore, and it just sails across the field.
Yep, that happened. What do you want me to say? I hated it too, man. It was not a good play. And so we watched that in the same caliber that you watch it, Ted. We don't know. We don't have great reasons why it happened. I just know if that young man is on the field, he's done enough for us on a daily basis to earn that time on the field more so than others. And in that moment, he made a poor decision. And I could tell you, I love the dude that threw that ball. And I talked to him a lot about his play and told him how much we need him to circle back and be mature about the mistakes he made and do his best to not make them anymore. So the goals that we gave up, Ted, that were unearned are again things that we need to make sure are more difficult for our opponent. An unearned goal here and there is something that'll happen against a Richmond and a St. Joe's. You just we don't have guys that are going to pay a perfect 60 minutes every single game. We have to make sure they're fewer and farther between. And we've seen that, against a great team that is, I mean, hell, Ted, with two or three more goals on the season, Richmond's, the number two, three team in the country, right? They beat Virginia. They lose in overtime to Cornell, overtime to Duke. They win those two games. Who knows? They're just, they're a high caliber opponent. So, and seeing that what we did for a long period of time from a 6-on-6 perspective, our defense is growing and coming together a bit. And I think adhering to a game plan in a lot of scenarios, but you still look at, Aiden O'Neill with the points that he had and the target for our stopping, it's still an area that we're not great at, making sure a great player is having a lousy day against Hobart. So as the head coach, I'm working very hard and diligently, our whole staff is, to make sure that those timely errors are very few and farther between. And we're talking about the ways to make sure, you're not hasty with the ball and you have great value when the ball's in your stick and how to play forward and do nothing off your back foot and all the fundamentals, Ted, we talk about since we start this thing every single year with these guys. Once again, if you keep reading the book of the past and you're influenced by the even within that game, Ted, if you're influenced by the errors you've made or the situation our team's in, you are going to tighten up your hands and you're going to do things that you shouldn't do. And so our men need to get need to find emotional strength right now and make sure that everything we want to accomplish is still in front of us. And if we're going to write the book of the future or start to, then we really have to stop reading the book of the past.
We see those flashes from time to time. There was a point in the game where you started moving the ball real well. You had a couple of really good assisted goals. It's just getting that to happen more consistently.
Yep, they can do it. Once again, they've been doing it all week. There are the things we see on Saturdays, Ted, we see for the first time, or we see in a similar fashion that I think a lot of our fans, our alums, and everybody sees. They don't do those things throughout the course of the week, and the comfortability they have with one another, that's something that I'm very proud of, and the fact that with all these ailments, I can go into a team room on Monday and all eyes are on me, all ears are open. And, we've taught our guys how to be resilient and endure and bounce back. And that's one thing that they have listened to. I can tell you what I feel throughout the course of this 10 years, good coaching. And I think we're doing a good job making sure that these guys stay in a consistent fashion. We've had great teams in the past, Ted, here, or I've been at other places, and this time of year rolls around and you don't know who you're going to get. You don't know if seniors are going to cash out, especially the guys that aren't playing, and they're going to take a social scene, and this is my last semester, or I'm going to do these things or that, and they don't stay focused. We've had those issues in a bunch of different places. We don't have it here with this team. So I can say that I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of our guys' willingness to work and to stay focused on what we wanted to do before this season started, to believe in those things. The peer accountability is outstanding. The peer leadership, the time when they put an arm around each other versus when they challenge. All of those things are right, man. I think the translation to how we're playing is still the quandary that needs to be rectified. And I believe that good things happen to good people, man. I do. And I got a team full of them. So, we're in full belief that this team will reap some of the rewards that they're showing from a work ethic standpoint.
Let's look at St. Joe's on Saturday. Starting with the venue, you've had some of your finest moments in that field. I mean, you opened up a can on Bryant there. You won a league title there. Is that anything you talk about at all?
Yeah, yes and no. We know what Hawk Hill's like. We've won championships there. We've lost them there. We've won good games. We've lost tight games. We've won double overtime games. We've lost overtime games. We got a great history with this place. I think if we were in different circumstances this season, then that location may be a little bit more matter of fact. But for us right now, it's about the caliber of opponent St. Joe's is. And, if you play them anywhere, they're big, fast, strong, and very disruptive from a system standpoint. So, our focus is more on that.
They've become really a different kind of team. Not that they don't score, but you used to think of them as a light up the scoreboard team, and now they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. Have they changed their style of play, or do they just have, I know they have great defensive personnel.
Yeah, I don't think it's changed much. I think that's where a lot of their leadership is too, Ted. A lot of their experience is in that end. And they're one of the best defensive teams because of how they ride and how few defensive possessions they have to play. So they're clearing the ball at, a decent clip, but their opponents are clearing the ball at right under 80%. If you face off pretty well like they do, and you ride the ball back that frequently, and this is against everybody, so they've ridden the ball back against the biggest, the strongest, and the fastest, and that's the, I think, the strength of their team. So they're a full field defensive team, and they're pretty good at it. And so what we have to know is scoring goals is going to be difficult, and we got to find ways to value the possession of the ball when we have it, because they do a lot of different things within the half field and the full field to take you out of that groove.
Yeah, I think they're number two in the country in the ride. I mean, they force a failure to clear 27% of the time. I know in the past they've shown some 10-man ride, they've shown some zone. Are they going to do those things Saturday?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they'll keep switching it up. They've got a good goaltender. I think the good thing about the only good thing about, playing a team that's great at all the annoying stuff, playing a team that's really good in the goal or really good at the face-off X or really good in the ride, that makes your week different. I think the St. Joe's we've had in the past, if you remember the Zach Cole days, it was just like, how in the heck are we going to get the ball into our stick at the face-off X? And then if we don't, how are we going to impact their substitution game? He's just dynamic in that sense. And then, this year it's a little bit of the same there, but it's more the ride and this. The only good thing about these great advantages that St. Joe's has is that we've seen them before, and we know what they do. And we have great respect for it. It's killed us a few times. Last year's St. Joe's game, the start of it, pretty similar to the one last week, was just, we talked a lot about certain areas where we wanted to impact the game, and to start the game, we didn't do any of that. So, that's something that our guys are going to watch. But again, the year-to-year stuff is, Taylor Rhea and his staff are terrific at what they do, and they're terrific recruiters. And I think it looks like playing lacrosse at St. Joe's is much more attractive than it's ever been because of the tutelage and the leadership under Taylor Rhea. So they have a great system that they've been operating and executing for multiple years now. So it's not just, hey, that's what they're good at this year. Ted, they have guys that have kind of they've been doctored into what this 10-man ride looks like, and what the substitution game stuff looks like. So that's the only good thing is that we've prepared for these guys plenty of times, and have on occasion done so successfully. So we're putting a lot of focus into a couple different things, and very hopeful that our guys can listen and execute.
You mentioned Zach Cole, the great faceoff man. Our Zach Cole story, it might have been the last game he ever played against Hobart, the championship game in 22 there in the rain. And we set up in the stands because they have a small press box. And that game, we were set up right next to his parents and grandparents. And they were so nice and friendly to us. We said, "You're making it awfully hard for us to hate you."
I was going to say, yeah, let's tell everybody they're bad people and see if they'll listen. That's the kind of the maturity in competition, Ted. That's what you're talking about. When we talk about nameless gray faces from a competition standpoint, just we can't claim to play against bad guys or bad people, or I've been a part of teams where the head coach does that. Like, they're doing everything wrong and they da da da. I just don't know that to be true. So, saying those types of things is not advantageous. I think, I quote Kyle Harrison all the time, my teammate in college, about, why he plays so hard in all scenarios. And he's like, I just respect my opponent so much. It's just, the best way to compete at a high level. And the key to respect is you got to give it in order to get it back. And that element of competition, that's as healthy as you can get, that you're going to play as hard as possible, knowing that you don't have any idea what this guy does in between the whistles, or what his family's like, or what type of practices they have for being a good person. We can't assume any of that stuff. We just have to know that we aren't afforded the opportunity to compete unless they're on the field with us. So why not give them the utmost respect, and then in turn do our best to earn a little bit of it as well.
One other name from the past, I was looking at their coaching staff and I saw the name Mike Restivo and got nightmares.
Yeah, Mike, I always crack a corny dad joke to him every time I see him on the sideline, just saying how happy I am to see him in a in coaching gear rather than playing gear. Yeah, man, a great player for him. We got a ton of history. I think that's the reason why when you play St. Joe's, no matter what your record is, their staff will have their guys very prepared for this game because they know how prepared we're going to be for this game. I think that's that word respect, we have a ton for them. And I would hope over these past 12 years, we've earned a ton from them as well. So, that's the type of game this is going to be. And I think it's supposed to be rainy, a little bit cold again. And we seem to be bringing that weather everywhere we go this year. But, I respect the heck out of him, Ted. I think he's a great coach and was a great player, and looking forward to going to battle again here.
One current name, I don't usually talk about opponents' long sticks, but number 60, Levi Virch, 66 ground balls, 25 caused turnovers. He must stand out on film.
Yeah, he's a special talent. There's no doubt about that. He's a unique player. He is enormous. He is super long, and I think when you see the success that they're having from a full field defensive standpoint, he's a huge part of it. I think they have some big long defensemen that cover great ground in this ride, and but. His ability to knock down balls and getting passing lanes and just challenge your decision making when you have the ball on your stick. He's a special player, man. There's no doubt about it.
All right, Coach Ray, you can turn off right here because I got one last question, and that is how are you going to win this game Saturday?
We're gonna have fun playing the game of lacrosse. We're gonna have a lot of love for each other and continuous care for for all of the sacrifice and effort that our men have put into the season. But also, Ted, we're going to execute a game plan, and we're going to do so in a mature and a composed way.
All right, you can find this podcast wherever you go to get podcasts, be it Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. You can get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. We've been talking with head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Best of luck Saturday on Hawk Hill, and let's hope we have 100 more of these.
Thanks, brother.